Chapter 2, the Bible says here, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for this story that we can so freely read and rejoice and celebrate in. Thank you, Lord, for this, the greatest gift ever given for the greatest need of eternity. Lord, I pray so much that you would make this to live for us today. I pray that you would just help us to see, help us to understand the impact of that night, what it meant, what it means to us today. Lord, I pray that you just be with us here today as we celebrate Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. In this story, we'll see many, many things, but let's kind of focus in on, first of all, Gabriel, the heavenly ambassador. Verse 9 says, And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Although here in this text, he's not called by name, just prior to his appearance here, Gabriel was identified to be the one with a message concerning the Lord's PR man. That was John the Baptist. Appeared unto Zacharias, and he was named there. And he appeared again to announce the news to Mary herself, and he's named also there. There are only two of the mightiest of angels who are identified by name. We know that there are many, many countless angels, innumerable angels that God has that are his servants, that he's created to serve him, and they have a purpose. But you only find two in the Word of God, two names identified, that is Michael, the archangel. He is the military commander of the divine forces, if you will. And then you also find Gabriel. He's another one of the highest of the rank of angels. He's a divine messenger of the highest brass and order. Every time that Gabriel is identified in Scripture, he is disclosing truth about God's salvation offered to the human race. And here, no doubt, it's all the time, the all-time greatest message ever given to mankind since his creation, Since his fall, since his exile from the garden, here's a message that comes from God through the ambassador, the heavenly ambassador, Gabriel. Being the greatest announcement to ever be uttered, no fanfare or pomp was spared. Gabriel and then his subordinates put on such a show that would scare the pants off of any common sheepherder. Can you imagine these guys in a dark, quiet Judean night, just watching the stars? And here, Gabriel appears in all of God's glory. And yes, they were sore afraid. Divine glory was unmuted as much as men could endure here in the giving of this proclamation direct from the king. Can you imagine the contrast of that quiet, dark night, immediately transforming the skies into things men have never seen, never been allowed to see before? You think the beams of a sunrise or sunset is spectacular? This was light and glory directly from the creator of light. Wow. Here in glory was Gabriel. Remember, the proclaimer was chosen by God to come from the top brass of heaven, the one slated to be privileged to be serving in the Father's immediate presence, as the Bible identifies Gabriel to be. When the top ambassador of heaven speaks, it's with authority and with power, with heaven's authority and power. We know somewhat of ambassadors, and our UN ambassador, Nikki Haley, this last week has pinned back the ears of Palestinian leaders who this week took a vote to condemn the U.S. decision to place our embassy in Jerusalem. That's been in the news, and if you've been following that at all. And she came with some really harsh, hard things to say. Is she that formidable that she can threaten countries of noting ridiculous votes and threatening the UN with a retraction of our 30% of the UN budget while other wealthy nations give less than 2% in that whole situation? Is she that much of a bad hombre, that much of a character that she can do that? Well, no. She speaks with all the wisdom, the backing, the military power that the nation she represents. And that's the words. And that's the power of those words, because she is the ambassador. How does Gabriel speak? Goodness. With all the glory, with all the power and might of the land that he represents. And so here, Gabriel presents himself and has a proclamation. Listen up. This comes from God. And look at his proclamation, verse number 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born in this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The first thing he said was, fear not, don't worry, calm down. I think he had to say this not because God was dropping the hammer. No, no. This is because God is offering salvation. God is offering forgiveness, a pardon to the guilty. The first thing that Gabriel had to make clear of the first order was to fear not, otherwise nothing else would be heard as he approaches a sinful, fallen man. Well, why? Well, because men are equipped with a conscience, an inner justice system that accuses of sin. If I was to say, prepare to meet thy God, it would be a horrible sentence for the guilty without any advocate, for one without any grace, minus forgiveness. God has a message for me? Whatever could it be? They had to be notified of God's beneficial intent. Fear not. Fear not. These are good tidings. Good tidings from the Almighty, the Supreme, the Holy Creator. And it was a message for every person alive. Notice what he said, which shall be to all people. That means to those that were there in attendance, but also those who were not. For all humanity that has come before them, this was to all people. to everybody that would live after, to all people. You know what that means? That means to you. That means to me. Here today, we have a message from God through his ambassador. It says to all people. God has a personal, specific, meaningful, important message for you. You are not here by accident. You're hearing from one of God's spokesmen here today. God has this message crafted for you. See, you're part of the all people that Gabriel mentioned. Yes, this one is for you. A message for you, for me, for all people. This is what he said, verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Here, God sent a Savior. One to accomplish what you could never. A perfect offering for sin. He would live a perfect life, present himself as that offering, that substitutionary sacrifice that the Old Testament sacrifices portrayed over and over and over again. It would take a lamb, an innocent lamb, and slay it for the sins of the people. And that was Jesus, God's Lamb. That perfect offering for sin. Your substitute who would lay down his life for you. Your Savior, my Savior. God has provided us with a Savior. And it was to be positively identified. Notice what the angel said in verse 12. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. He gave details so they would not miss it. He gave specifics so that they could, when they came upon this offer, this Savior, they would understand exactly what it was because of the details given. Specifics. Historical events, places, unmistakable prophetic fulfillments. You see, when God has given this Savior, he has laid it out with detail. Unbelievably rich prophetic fulfillment with details to the minutiae of who Jesus would be, where he would be born, what type of life he would live, the lineage that he had, the offering that he was, everything that he would do, his healing and his preaching. The Bible itself is unparalleled in confirmation of God's message. It's an amazing book, folks. An amazing book that has the promise, the stamp of eternity, where Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not. This book, although it's been hated over the centuries, right here, intact. And you hear that message. You hear Gabriel's message here today through the Word of God. Prophecy is openly satisfied above and beyond question. Just in the prophecies of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, astronomical in its fulfillment. You couldn't mathematically just have that fall into place. No, this was given by God with the detail to show you, to direct you to this Savior. His resurrection alone from the dead, pre-identified, undeniable, openly accomplished. See, that's the way that God is, even from the very beginning. Giving specific details, identifying markers, unquestionable resolutions. And that's what the angel did. He said, this is what you'll find, and he gave details. Aren't you glad that we have the details, all the details about our Savior? And there's nothing in question to be positively identified. And then look at the message confirmation. When Gabriel, the ambassador, gives the message in verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. This was the message from the highest, peace and goodwill. To you, to me, this is peace from God, goodwill. This is the real Christmas story. Confirmed by countless divine emissaries. This was not counterfeitable. I mean, here the shepherds saw with their own eyes the heavenly host praising God. We even celebrate that first coming every single year. No fable, no myth. It's not a fairy tale, not elves or Santa. No, no, this is something entirely different. We observe a tradition of giving gifts even in honor of the one who gave his only begotten son, the greatest gift ever. And then see the message accepted. See, this was given to the shepherds. Verse 15 says, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, 'Let us now go. Let's take advantage of this. Let's see. Let's find out.'" So they were given the message. Then they believed it, accepted it, acted upon it. They went to go see it. See, everybody who hears the truth of God's grand message must believe it and act upon it themselves. Well, what does God say? What does God affirm? Even in this message, even in the Christmas message, well, number one, you need a Savior. God has confirmed that. Man needs a Savior. We are sinful. We have, by nature and by choice, turned against God because of our sin. And because of our sin, we need saving. Jesus is that Savior that is provided for you and for me. But first of all, I've got to understand my condition. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, this message also got made very clear that you cannot save yourself. Otherwise, he would not have needed to come. He would not have needed to die, but he needed to come and live his life and present himself that sacrifice for you and I, because there is no other way. That's what the Bible says. There's no other way. This is the only way for you, for me, to be reunited, for us to have a pardon, attain that pardon. We cannot save ourselves. This message says that God loves you. This is his goodwill toward men. In offering his goodwill and his peace, reunion with him, he desires your fellowship and my fellowship, and he wants to be united. He wants to be reunited with his creation. And you know what? This shows that God loves you. And it also says that you must place your faith and trust in this Savior. You must accept him as your Savior. So why would anyone ignore him? How could someone ignore him? Why would anyone try to make it on their own, do their own good works, and try by their religion or by their sincerity to earn some acceptance with God when you can't do it that way? Your personal character will not make it. Why would some ignore the gift of God and go about trying to establish their own righteousness when that could only be an affront to this gracious and this holy God who has provided the Savior for that purpose, for that reason? Why would you leave that greatest of all gifts under your tree and not even open it up for yourself? Why would you do that? It's a gift that was provided for you, for me, for every single person that has ever lived. That gift has been wrapped up and presented, and it's under your tree. That's the greatest gift. Folks, the greatest gift you'll ever receive is that eternal life from Jesus Christ our Lord. See, unless you take him as your personal Savior, you cannot have that peace that was offered. It's not a blanket peace that falls over the whole world, whether you want it or whether you don't. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse number 27, he said this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." He says, it's not something that is just belligerently offered and everybody gets it. No, that's not the offer that is made. The Bible's clear upon whom God's salvation is given to. John chapter 1, verse number 12. "But as many as received him," this Savior, this Jesus, the Savior that was born so many years ago, "as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." So the question is, will you open up your heart to this Savior today? What a great day to be saved. How about it, Christmas Eve, when we're talking about the Savior and that gift, and that gift that was proclaimed by the heavenly ambassador, that gift that is to you, to me. How about it? Will you open your heart to the Savior today? If you open his gift, the greatest gift you'll ever be offered, forgiveness, pardon, grace, healing, eternal life. What a great gift, folks. What a great gift. What a great Savior. Wouldn't you do that today? Say, well, preacher, I know about Jesus. Well, yeah, you can know about him and not have him as your Savior. There's a difference about knowing about him, but receiving him to be saved. There's quite a difference. You got to receive that gift. How about that today? How about that this morning? Again, verse 10 of our text. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Let's have heads bowed for the next few moments and just a couple of questions.